sing in the storm. There's a blessing in the storm. When the sickness won't leave my body and the pain just won't leave my soul, cannot seem to love again, and the raindrops won't never end. There's a blessing in the storm. Cannot seem to love again, and the raindrops won't never end. If you just hold on, those clouds will soon be gone. There's a blessing in the storm. There's a blessing.
Praise the Lord. I tell you, on them days when things electronically go wrong, they just go wrong with everything. Lord bless Brother Jesse there. We were just talking about the blessing in the storm today and how God does the little miracles in the big troubles. It's God's way of letting you know that he's there with you. That no matter what you're going through, he's there. And I looked at a brother and I said, what do you think Peter's walking on the water was? He did that right in the middle of his storm. That was God's way of showing you that he can give you victory in the middle of your disaster. You believe that? Amen. One of the finest preachers and teachers I've ever met in my life. Would you welcome your youth pastor, Brother Danny Sapp?
Mic's on. All right. Praise God. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord, first of all, and it's good to be with other people who love God. Amen. I believe that the scripture is truth. And the truth says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Amen. Not just hang out, but you got to walk with them. You got to go where they're going. You got to hear what they're hearing. You got to speak what they're speaking. Amen. And I'm so thankful for the people that God has put in my life. And he has ordered me to walk with them. My steps are ordered of the Lord. And I choose to follow the order of things of God. Amen. Tonight, we're going to begin teaching out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. If we can have that put on the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Chapter 8 verses. I guess we can start with verse number 1. And we will read just a few verses. Amen. Praise God. I'll wait for that to be put on the screen because I know some may not have a Bible. Hopefully, you'll make an effort to bring your Bible to church. I've got back into the habit of bringing my Bible to church. And I made a commitment to our youth group. And I vowed to the Lord before them. And thank God he has reminded me. And I believe we've been faithful to bring our Bible to church ever since. So if you see me without it, feel free to come by and say, "Hey, where's it at?" I think it's just a great thing to bring your own Bible and mark in it as you learn and as you get understanding to make note of that in your own Bible. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 1. I want to read one verse, pray, and then we'll read the other verse. Is that okay? Is that all right? All right. All right. "And all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land." Everybody say, "That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land." Those are three things that God wants to accomplish with his people. He wants us to live, to multiply, and to possess our possessions. A lot of things that we want, but we don't possess them yet. And that's not what we're going to be preaching about, but that's just, I got a little sermon just from that. Amen. I call it the spirit of that message, which the Lord swear unto your father. So before we read any verses, any more verses, let's just pray for what the Lord wants to do in this service and in our lives as a congregation, as well as individually and personally. So can we pray together? And I know we're in one room, we're in one building, we're breathing the same air, but we need to rise to another level of unity, and that's the unity of the Spirit. Not human spirit, but unity of the Spirit of God. And we want to come together and be unified with God so that we can hear him tonight. Amen. And move with him. Not just feel his move, but move with him tonight in this place. Come on, let's pray together. Amen. We're his children, and he so loves to hear from us. Oh, God, I need your holy presence. I need your presence, God. Lord Jesus, we're thankful to be called out of darkness and into this great, glorious light. Hallelujah, of liberty and glory and salvation. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. Thank you, Lord, for helping me, Lord Jesus, to get to where we are today. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful. Lord, even when we were not faithful, you were faithful. And you never left us. You have never forsaken us. And tonight we're still laying claim to the word of God that you will never leave us or forsake us. But you will continue being our shepherd. And you will preserve your people and cause us to live and multiply and possess our possessions according to the will of God. I'm asking that you would loose your word and send it forth into this congregation that we might be helped, that we might be strengthened and edified, and that your will would be accomplished in each of our lives and in this world in which we live. In Jesus' wonderful, matchless name, someone shout praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord God of heaven. Praise the Holy One. Praise him because he is God and he deserves the praise. He is worthy of the praise and the glory and the honor. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his sheep. We are his children. We have been begotten by the Father, and we have the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. We weren't the originals, but we've been engrafted into the true vine. Amen. And for that, we are thankful. Praise God. You may be seated. And I'm going to continue reading. Verse 2 says, "And thou shalt remember." Everybody say, remember. "Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee." And I'm reading this slow for a reason. "To prove thee," that means to test you, "to know what was in thine heart." God said, "I've led you these 40 years to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, because you did not know what was in your heart. So I've been leading you all this time so that you could discover what you're really made out of and know the content of your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." And the next verse says, "And he humbled thee." And let me explain that word to you. That word means he afflicted you. Not Satan. He did it. Now don't misread what I'm trying to say and try to claim that for your situation. Because this does not apply to every situation. But in this situation it does. He said, "I humbled thee." That means I afflicted thee. I weakened thee. And I depressed thee. That's what that means in that language. He said, "I depressed you." And we thought all depression came from the devil. And the Lord said, "I depressed you. I afflicted you." And you thought you were just having a bad day and blaming it on the devil. And the Lord said, "I did it. And I have a reason for it. And I suffered thee to hunger." In other words, he said, "I put you in a position so that you can experience hunger. I allowed you to suffer hunger. And then I fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man did not live by bread only." Everybody say, bread only. And when you look at the New Testament, Jesus reiterated this verse and brought this verse from several thousand years before. He brought it back to his day and he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." You know, bread is something that you can provide. Bread is something that you can work for and earn money to buy at a grocery store. I mean, you can grow wheat, you can grow corn, and make your own bread. It can be the work of your hands. He didn't say, live by wheat alone, or barley alone, or rice. He said, bread, something that's been prepared by your hands. "But by every word that proceedeth," that word proceedeth means every word that continues, or every word that goes forth. So there's a continuation here. And the reason why some people are still in the same state and they're on the same spiritual level that they were 5 years ago is because they're not listening to what God is saying now. They're not hearing what is proceeding out of the mouth of God. God's speaking. And that's why you hear in the book of Revelation, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. And he is saying, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." And that, of course, is Rhema word, not the Logos, but the Rhema word, what God is speaking out of the mouth of the Lord doth live. So my question, as I read this in your hearing, my question is, why would God feel the need to humble his own people? Why would God feel he had to humble his own people? And let me give you some explanation as to what I feel the reason is behind God humbling his own people. I feel that God knew that if he did not humble them in their beginning, they would not appreciate where they were going. Number two, I believe that God knew that if they got everything they wanted, when they wanted it, and how they wanted it, they would have been lifted up in pride, as verse 14 describes, and they would have thought that they deserved it, worked for it, and earned it, rather than just being a recipient of the goodness of God. So I see that initially in this story, God is saying that I done this so that I might teach you to live dependent upon me and not your own strength, talent, resource, and ability and intellect. And I believe that God is still in the business of teaching his own children how to depend and rely upon him and his power and his ability and his word and his leading. I believe God wants us to be dependent upon him as his children. And of course, God sees beneath the exterior, beneath the surface of our humanity. And he sees our motives and our intent and our desire. And he sees our ambitions and he sees our dreams and he sees what drives us. I feel that God works at the source, beyond the exterior, beyond the surface. God wants to work deep inside of us. He wants to get to the root of the issue. And therefore we find over and over that God begins to deal with the heart and the spirit of his own people. According to the scriptures, Proverbs 4:23, because all of the issues of a man's life, all of the issues of his life, such as his attitude, his desires, his behavior, his decisions, his words, his thoughts, all of these things proceed from his heart. They flow from his heart, his inner man, the core of who he is. And I think that God also sees the hidden things. He sees the things in our lives that no one else sees. And he sees the things that perhaps would undermine and circumvent and prohibit his will from being accomplished. And he sees the things that hinder his nature and his character from being manifested in the world in which we live. And therefore, I believe that God works to get those secret things out of our heart and destroy them. God wants to work in your heart, because that is where we have the most trouble. It's in our heart. It's deceitful. It's wicked. You cannot trust it. You need a new heart. You need his heart. You need his spirit if you're ever going to do the will of God. And so the first thing I believe God does to take care and resolve this problem and deal with the source of the matter is exposure. Everybody say exposure. If you're going to deal with something, you've got to identify it. And so I believe personally the first step is exposure. And this many times comes through pressure. It comes through difficulty. It comes through trial. It comes through trouble. It comes through stress. And you and I can attest to this, that through trial and through tribulation, through pressure, we have come to the realization, we have come to this understanding of who we are and what is in our heart. In fact,
when you add the pressure of a hammer and you apply it to the end of your finger, you will find out what is in your heart or either your mind. Are you hearing me? And if someone rubs you the wrong way, they will find out what's in your heart. And if someone mistreats you, they will find out and you will find out what's in your heart. And when things don't go your way, you will soon find out what you're really made out of. And when you don't have a lot, and when things aren't pleasant as you want them to be, you'll find out what you're really made out of and who you're really committed to. And so the Lord knows this. And he said, I humbled you for a reason. I wanted to prove you. I wanted to know what was in your heart. I wanted you to know what was in your heart. Because if you never know what's in your heart, you'll never repent of it and you'll never be changed. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord for a moment. Praise God. And so God is working on the inside. I believe there's a song, Brother Lamar says, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Is that how it goes? And I believe that. I believe that even now God is working on our heart, our spirit, our attitude. Occasionally, we will realize things that are hidden in our lives through the preaching of the Word of God. And when we study the Word of God, the Word will reveal. You see, the Word illuminates. It reveals things that are hidden in darkness. My alarm is going off. It says devotion and prayer. So I guess we're in the midst of that. I'm so sorry. I kept hearing this ringing. I'm like, are you calling me? Praise the Lord. But anyway, through preaching and teaching, things are revealed that are in our heart and our mind and so forth. And also through intimate prayer. When you begin to spend time with God in prayer and in personal devotion and worship, God can begin revealing things to you about yourself. Amen. God cares for us. He loves us. And he wants us to be his children. Amen. Now that's not definitely not my ring. I would not have that kind of ring. That sounds like the Dukes of Hazzard from the 80s. Or is that the 70s? So if God humbles us, you hear me. If God humbles you, it's for a good reason. It's for a godly reason. He may be trying to break something that is not pleasing to him and that does not reflect his image, his nature, his character. And he may be trying to break something in you that could possibly destroy you and destroy others in your life. And I feel that one major conflicting source that prevents the totality of God's nature and character from being manifested is pride. Everybody say pride. It's a big word. It's a huge situation. It's more than an epidemic. Pride, according to a dictionary I read, is high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in bearing or conduct or services, etc. Let me give you some synonyms of the word pride: conceit, self-esteem, or inordinate self-esteem, egotism. Well, I see that. Vainglory, lofty, arrogant, dignity, haughty. These are just some synonymous words of pride. Pride is usually embedded in the heart, concealed and rarely recognized. According to Matthew 7 and 21 and 22, pride comes out of your heart. Pride is found, I believe, in every social status. It is found in every ethnic group and in every religion. You will find pride. You will find pride in poor people, rich people, saved people, unsaved people, strong people, weak people, whole people, sick people. It doesn't matter. Every person will have to deal with pride. Every person is plagued with pride. No matter what your background is, no matter what your social status is, even if you're poor and you're living off of welfare cheese and bologna, it doesn't matter. Pride is there and it's in your heart. And it can harm not only you, but it can hinder the very thing that God wants to accomplish in your life. I believe that pride is the most widespread source of sin in all humanity. That's my opinion. I feel that pride is the most widespread source of sin in all of the human race. The word pride occurs 49 times in Scripture. The word pride, and that's the King James Version. The word proud is 48 times in the King James Version. Before there was rebellion, there was pride. Before there was lust, there was pride. Before there was lying, there was pride. Before there was hatred, there was pride. Before there was jealousy, there was pride. Before there was stealing and thieves, there was pride. Pride was the original source of sin. It was first found in Lucifer. And someone say, amen. And you wonder, why are we dealing with this? Well, isn't this a month of fasting and a month of consecration? And I believe that if we're going to accomplish the will of God and be the men and women that God has designed us and called us to be, then this must be dealt with. Pride must be exposed and it must be dealt with because it prohibits the nature and the attitude and the ways of God from being known to the people in this world. Pride hinders you and I on a daily basis, and most of us are not aware of it. So why just fast just to be fasting? I know we're trying to get close to God. And David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. But there's a purpose for fasting. Fasting is going to break some things in your humanity that's hindering the work of God and the character of God. And pride is one of the biggest issues that plagues mankind today. Whether they're saved or unsaved, sanctified, it doesn't matter. Pride is there. God is going to let you and I know how big of a deal pride really is. Job chapter 41 and 15. His scales, which means shield or defense, are his pride. They're shut up together as with a close seal. Psalms 10 and 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Psalm 73. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, which is a necklace or an ornament. Proverbs 11 and 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, which means dishonor or grace. Only by pride, Proverbs 13 and 10, only by pride cometh contention, which is strife and debate. You get rid of pride and the strife and the debate will cease. Are you hearing me? Proverbs 16 and 18, you probably can quote this, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29, 23, a man's pride, didn't say the devil's pride, but he said a man's pride shall bring him low or bring him abased. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3 says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. And 1 John chapter 2, verses 16, you know the scripture talks about all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and what else? Everybody say the pride of life. These things are inescapable. They're in the world. Where do you live? We live in the world. He says all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Notice he put the pride of life last. That's the biggest problem. The pride of life. Let me define this for us today. I want you to really let this sink in. I hope the Holy Ghost just sends this truth into your heart. Amen. So that you and I can deal with it through the power of the Holy Ghost. But the pride of life is the trust in one's own self, ability, strengths, talents, or possessions. And let me just shorten it and say this. The pride of life is to simply trust in your own self and not God. And that is one thing that keeps a lot of people from coming to the altar and saying, God, I'm lost. God, I'm unclean. God, I need help. I have addictions. I have problems. And I need help. The pride of life keeps people from coming to an altar and confessing their sins before God and letting God know, I can't do it without you. It's pride that hinders man from being saved. You can pull away from the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Just close your ears or close your eyes and put some earplugs in. And don't go to the mall. But everywhere you go, the pride of your life is seated in your heart. And that is to trust in your own self. Just trust in your own ability. I don't need God. I can do it. I'll come to God when I get ready to. I'm coming back to church. It ain't up to you. If God doesn't call you, if God doesn't draw you, you cannot be saved. And to believe otherwise is pride.
None of us are exempt. Let me identify pride into today's terminology by giving you some evidence, some signs, and some symptoms. I hope you keep note, at least mentally. And if something really strikes a chord in your life, maybe you'll take note of it and say, God, that has to be dealt with. Here we go. You ready? Pride fights the spirit of holiness. You know why some people have a problem with what we call holiness? Pride is the reason. Pride fights the spirit of holiness. There's a lot of people claiming holiness, don't even know what holiness is. Holiness is a work of the Spirit. There's people that they got more better standards than we are. And God doesn't call them holy. Without His Spirit, there is no such thing as holiness. Not according to this book. Pride fights meekness. Pride prevents true humility. I pray that God thunders this in our heart. I was speaking to someone the other day, and I didn't even know I was speaking to them. And let me explain that. I was speaking to them, and they were telling me some situations that they were frustrated about, and they just wanted to fight back and with vengeance and retaliate. And obviously the Lord was using me, because pride got exposed in that conversation. And to make a long story short, it totally revolutionized this person's life. They will never be the same. Pride prevents true humility. Pride makes it difficult to admit wrongdoing. Pride makes it difficult to admit faults, failures, and sins. In fact, pride will keep you from naming the sin
that easily besets you and the weight that slows you down. Pride will prevent you from speaking that out of your mouth. I've had to tell God exactly what my problem is. But pride had to be dealt with so that I could get it out of my mouth. He didn't say confess that you have sinned. He said confess the sin. Not to the world, not to the priest, but confess that sin to God. And he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. Pride makes it difficult for us to apologize. I remember some dear friends of mine many years ago, and they were a great blessing to me, but they some things happened, and they just got under my skin, and they got on my nerves, and I think I got a bad attitude. You know how we are when we're young. We just cock an attitude, and I said some things and done some things that hurt them. And by hurting them, it hurt my relationship with them. And it took some time, and I had to go to them. And I'm telling you, it was hard. It was hard, but I went to them, and I said, "Brother, I'm so sorry. I said, I know you're upset at me, and, you know, I had a bad attitude and so forth, and I'm sorry. I love you, and I want you to forgive me." And, you know, there was a time in my life, and perhaps there'll be times in the future where that was very difficult for me. But I'm telling you, if you can humble yourself, you can reconcile with your brother. You can have a good relationship with that brother and that sister in Christ. It doesn't matter what the history is. It doesn't matter what the family situations are. I'm telling you, pride will destroy a relationship. But if you humble yourself before God, God will give you His grace. And His grace will suffice. His grace will influence you so that you can make amends and take care of situations. Amen. That hinders the work of God from being accomplished in a unified manner. Pride lifts up, it praises, it boasts oneself, it admires oneself, one's own accomplishments and one's own ability. I'm telling you, and I'll go ahead and share it because we're all family here tonight. But I know we got a few singers and musicians, and I've told it to our youth, you know, because I want them to be saved. I don't want them to become, you know, so arrogant and puffed up and full of pride. But so I've told them, I said, sometimes we worship our own worship. Are you hearing me? We worship our own singing. We worship our own church service. You know, we worship our ability, you know. And we got to hit it all just right and sound just perfect. And that's great if you can do it. But if it ain't being done for the glory of God, it's vain. And it's out of pride. And it's self-promoting. And I'm telling the truth, aren't I? Let me throw this one in here. Pride fights discipline. And pride fights correction. If you're having a problem being disciplined by a spiritual elder, whether it be a father, mother, or preacher, or Sunday school teacher. If you're having a problem being spiritually disciplined by an elder, if you're having a problem being corrected by a man or woman of God, then you've got a problem with pride. Yes, you do. I'm telling you, it's hard to endure chastening. It's hard. I've had to go in Pastor Kyle's office now most of the time it's great and we're dealing with, you know, situations and trying to take care of business and administration and so forth of the church, you know, the operations and the functions of the church. But there's been times, especially when I first moved here the first few years, I went in that office a few times. I'm telling you, it wasn't good. And I come out just licking my wounds. But I had to humble myself and receive it. That's right. I had to humble myself and receive it. Because pride will fight being disciplined and pride will fight being corrected. If you cannot be corrected by a man of God, you're full of pride. It doesn't matter what you think of that man or woman of God. God put them in your life for a reason.
I've never taught some of this stuff before. This is first time for me. So I've been eating it for the last while. So it might be bitter at first, but just hang on. Amen. It's going to help us. Are you still with me here? Pride makes it difficult to forgive others. Pride is the source of unforgiveness. Pride is the source of resentment and bitterness. Pride is the source. Pride is quick to defend itself and usually blames others and seeks justification. Pride will also use position, rank, or authority for selfish gain or advantage. I've done that. Now, sometimes I've done it for the sake of the kingdom and the unity of the church, but there's been other times, I'll be honest, I've used it for selfish reasons, and I was wrong. Aren't you glad for God's grace and mercy? Hey, let's put our hands together for just a moment. Praise God. Amen. I'm not really talking or preaching or teaching for an immediate response, but I'm wanting to provoke your thought life so that when you go to prayer, you'll be more aware of situations that could possibly be contaminating your life and your spirituality. Pride seeks vengeance. Pride has a deserving attitude. I deserve this. And I could elaborate on a lot of these, but I'm not, for sake of time. Pride breeds anger, hatred, malice. Pride leads to arrogance. It leads to rebellion. Pride affects the way you dress. You know what you got. You know what you look like. And when you want other people to know what you look like and what you got, that's pride. Oh, yeah. And the reason why we dress certain ways, to please someone that we're not married to, that's pride. Pride does affect the way you dress. I hear an elder back there. Hallelujah. I'm feeling some glory, some anointing in here. I'm going to just move quickly here. Pride is the source of unsubmission. Pride is the source of unsubmission. And listen, it's not your job to make someone submit. If they don't submit, they have a problem with God. Now, it might hinder and hurt you and make you mad, but you can't make nobody submit. Leave that to God if He wants to do that. Pride is contrary to the nature and the character of Christ. Let me read this. Pride undergirds jealousy, hatred, self-pity, gossip. Pride undergirds fear, worry, guilt, and shame. This is going to blow your mind. Study this one when you get a chance. Pride leads to legalism. Ask the Pharisees. Pride leads to legalism and legalistic thinking. Someone told me a while back, and they were disgruntled about something. They said, I don't believe in legalism. I said, well, praise God, I don't either. I believe in the liberty of the Spirit. I live this way because the Holy Ghost is in me, and there's a new nature working in me, and the new nature supersedes the nature of my own humanity. His nature is superior to my nature, and I choose to yield my members to the holy nature of God, and therefore the result is I become what He is, and that is holy. It may not be that way for everybody. But I'm telling you, you can walk in the Spirit. Be led of the Spirit. I think I said this Sunday. Some people work for the Spirit and other people are led of the Spirit. I choose to be led of the Spirit. I told Jesus today, I said, Lord, I don't want to be a worker. I want to be a son. I want to be a child of God. I don't want to be an employee.
I want to be a child of God. I want to be a faithful son. And he don't want me to treat him like an employer. He wants me to treat him like a father. Ooh, glory. Somebody needs to get that revelation right now. Talk to him like a father, not an employer. Pride seeks power. Ooh, that's tough. Pride seeks power. The Bible never said seek power. This is going to blow your mind. The Bible never even said to seek gifts. It said to desire them. This is what it says if you read the scripture. I don't know, Corinthians 13 or 14. What does it start with? It starts with charity. I wish I had that. Somebody turn real quickly, and then I'll move on. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter, 14. 14. Let me read it with you. Can I do that? Brother Patrick? Everybody still awake? Okay. All right, here it is. You ready? Now, chapter 13, we know is a book about charity. But here's your answer concerning spiritual gifts. Chapter 14 says, follow after charity. That means you got to seek charity. Follow after charity. That's the prerequisite. And then desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So if you're not following after charity and you're just seeking gifts, you're full of pride. And your motive's not right. You just want to be powerful just to do great things and get your name on the Pentecostal Herald and get you another engagement to go somewhere and to get recognition. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And become very egotistical. I see a lot of that, but it's not my place to deal with it. It's just not my place to deal with it. And if it's not your place to deal with it, don't deal with it. Just pray about it. Amen. Ooh, this is tough today, isn't it, Brother Charles? Ooh, my Lord, have mercy. Pride seeks power and position, but love seeks relationship. And that's the key to power. That's the key to power with God, is intimate relationship. You think Jesus just walked around in his humanity, I hunger for power. No. He became one with deity. Humanity fused with deity. And he said, I do always the things that please my Father. You see, that's the result of intimacy. Intimacy will put you in a position where you just walk in truth. You exhibit the character of God. And you do only the things that pleases him. And when he can trust you, then you will receive all of these things that you need to do the will of God and accomplish his will in the earth, which involves power. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's twofold. One's relationship, and the second is spiritual ability. Somebody say, praise God. Pride precedes strife. It provokes strife, contention, competitiveness, and even vainglory. I want to say that one more time. Pride provokes strife, contention, competitiveness, and even vainglory. Let's lift our hands for a moment. If we don't stop from time to time, you're not going to be able to digest what's being sent into this room tonight by the Holy Ghost. Oh, my Father, my Father, my Father. My Father, my Father, my Father. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help us to see ourselves through your eyes, through the mirror of the Word of God. We need help. We need help. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's pride that provokes strife and contention and competitiveness and vainglory. Amen. It's pride that leads to excessive desire for approval of others. People who are always seeking for the approval of others and the attention of others. It's an issue of pride. It can be overcome.
I'm not saying they're dirty and they're sinful and they're bad people. I'm just saying there's a pride issue there. Amen. And God can help us. Now, I want to say this right here, and I hope that you understand it. Now, there are references in the Bible, but let me read this. I just wrote this afternoon. Premature promotion and positioning can lead to one being lifted up and ensnared of the devil. If you are promoted before your time, if you're trying to get something done that God hasn't put in your heart to do, and it's not time, and you seek to do it anyway, it's going to lead to disaster. And I felt the Holy Ghost gave that to me this afternoon. That premature position by one's own will and ambition and being moved to a higher position because you feel like you're ready for it can lead to one being lifted up in pride and self-destruct. Be careful what you seek for. You might get it, but you might not like the way you get it. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. If the Holy Ghost is speaking to you, then we need to respond to the word of the Lord. I'm simply being obedient to the Holy Ghost. I'm simply conveying to you what the Lord has revealed to me. That's all I'm doing. I have no grudge against anyone. I'm not bitter against anyone. But I'm simply a messenger today to convey the word of the Lord. Hallelujah, that will help your soul. And help you to become the person of God that He desires you and I to be. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you seek for. In fact, just because man positions you doesn't mean God has promoted you. I want you to hear that. Just because man has positioned you doesn't mean God has promoted you. We don't need to take anything for granted. We need to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Don't just assume that phone call was ordained of God. Don't just assume that opportunity was sent of the Holy Ghost. Take it all to the Lord in prayer. Take it all to the Lord in prayer and let Him direct your paths. Ooh, glory to the name of God. Oh, my Lord. You know, when you get a little situation and somebody rubs you the wrong way and you just say, they're not going to treat me that way. And you begin to retaliate with vengeance. And they have no right. I'm not a child. I may be younger than them, but they have no right to treat me that way. I say to you, you need to humble yourself. Because that's pride. They may not have a right to treat you that way, but you have no right as a son or daughter of God to behave with vengeance. That's not your place. That's not your place. That's His job. I wish no evil upon my enemies. I choose to retaliate in prayer. I went to the Lord in prayer and I told God, I said, God, that hurt me. That hurt me. And I cried to the Lord like a baby. I'm telling you, when I release that from my spirit and my heart to God, God moved in my life and He filled my heart with grace. He filled me with His own nature and character, and He filled me with His mind, because in His mind is desire and the ability to respond to trials and circumstances and things that rub you the wrong way. Jesus is teaching us how to respond like He responded. They slapped Him. They smote Him. They put the thorns on His head. They spit in His face.
Look at his attitude. Never have we seen anyone so humble in all of our lives. There's no one like him. Pride destroys relationships. 2 Chronicles, and I'm coming to a close. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 26. And this is difficult for me. Tonight is difficult. This dealing with this subject is difficult because I was born out of pride. I was born out of pride. I was born in pride. It was in my heart from a youth, from conception. I had pride in my veins. In fact, when I was a teenager, I used to wear a hat with army pins on it. And it said 101% rebel. I had long hair. And when that hat got old, I bought the same one. That was a reflection of my spirit. But I'm glad that he cares. I'm glad that he's willing to work with us over a long period of time. Hallelujah, our God is long-suffering. He's not willing that I perish or you perish, but he's willing to work with us until we become productive and bring him pleasure. 2 Chronicles 32 and 26. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself. You want to know how to deal with pride? You learn to humble yourself. And that's what we're doing when we're fasting. Fasting isn't for fun. I couldn't wait to get home to eat that food Sister Ruby brought me today. Hallelujah. I tore that aluminum foil off there and I just grabbed the first piece of chicken. It didn't matter if it was dark meat or white meat. I just grabbed it. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Of course, I may have said thank you, Jesus, after about halfway done. Lord, you know I'm thankful. Praise God. But had some cornbread with that too. Wasn't no crackling in it this time, Brother Powell. Amen. No corn or nothing, but we had cornmeal. But it says he humbled himself. Why did he humble himself? For the pride. And this is a man that done great things. This is a man that was favored of God. And he had God's blessing upon his life. He really did. But for a season in his life, because people were magnifying. Oh, yeah. They were just magnifying and giving him all these gifts. And the Bible says that he was lifted up in his heart. But thank God he must have had someone in his life. He must have had a man of God in his life. You know, the prophets were in those days. And, the prophets were pretty close to the king. King can call and say, hey, bring the man of God. And the man of God would say, thus saith the Lord. But long story short, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. Both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do during the month of February. During this time of fasting. Amen. Because pride is like a stronghold in your life and you don't even realize it. It's there. He humbled himself for the pride that was in his heart and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They'd done so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Many kings and rulers have self-destructed because they were lifted up in pride. Wholesome and proper relationships have been hindered and severed and even prevented due to pride. Pride is not like Christ because Christ is humble. And he is powerful, but he is humble. Here are some opposites, some antonyms to the word pride. Everybody say humbleness. Humility. Sister Bishop, would you come to the keyboard, please? We're going to ask you to stand. If you'd stand, let's all stand tonight. Humbleness is an antonym to pride. Humility.
lowly, modest. That's opposite of pride. If you read James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6, but he gives more grace. Everybody say more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. And I believe that in the book of 1 Peter, you will find that if you humble yourself before God, under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due time. Everybody say, the Lord will lift you up. Because if we're lifted up in pride, we're going to be destroyed. Pride always goes before destruction. It may take 30 years, but pride always goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And see, the devil feeds your pride. Oh, yeah. The devil feeds your pride. The devil will tell you, you need to get up there. They need to hear you sing. They need to know what you're capable of doing. Oh, yeah. You think devil's real? The devil will promote you so that he will destroy you. But if God exalts you, no man and no devil can tear you down. Now, they might try out of jealousy, but God has a way of preserving his own children. And the writer said, I will not fear what man can or will do unto me, for the Lord is my helper. He didn't say that because he was a good boy. He said that because he knew he served a good God that cared for his own soul. Proverbs 16:19 says, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women of God, if we're going to overcome pride and conquer pride, we've got to learn to walk humbly. Not just humble ourselves on a one-time occasion just to pray through, but we've got to learn to walk humbly before God. And if that is going to be accomplished, it's going to require submission. The key to humbleness is submission. I want you to hear this. The key to humbleness is submission. Submit your will. Submit your attitude. Submit your drive. Submit your dream. Submit your desires. Submit everything within you to the Lord. That is humbling yourself. And when you submit yourself to God and draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. And you will have all the power you need to resist the devil, and he will flee. But the key is submission. Every day, submit your mind, submit my attitude, submit my will, submit my desire. I got up this morning and I was feeling lousy, but I was saying something. I don't remember the exact words, but I was saying something like this. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God, you are good to me right now. I'm telling you, you can determine your day by determining your attitude when you submit yourself totally to God in the beginning. Can we lift our hands to the Lord? Oh God. Oh God. Teach us to humble ourselves so that you don't have to humble us. Teach us to humble ourselves before you so that you don't have to humble us. I want pride conquered in my life.
I want pride conquered in my life. I want egotistic thinking conquered in my life. I don't want there to be any desire for vainglory. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust Him in His service daily live. I surrender all my will, my desires, my attitude. I surrender my dreams and goals and ambitions. All to I surrender all. Oh, I surrender. I surrender all to Thee. My heart. This day, Lord, it's